That was you. I'm sorry, John. I was standing here looking at the dial and wondering what was going on. This is Raymond C. Ferguson, and I'm interviewing Dr. John R. Shafkin in his home at 129 Cambridge Drive, Windsor Hills, Wilmington, Delaware. This is Thursday, April 3rd, 1986, in the morning. John, we first want to know about your early life, and I know you were born in Willamette, Illinois, April 9th, 1918. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what was your father's name?
Peter Shafkin.
And what was his business or occupation?
He was a laborer. He worked on construction, mixed mortar, carried bricks, did anything that a laborer does in construction. He was also a part-time policeman.
And your mother, what was her name?
Mother was named Augusta Kasilke Shafkin. She emigrated from Germany when she was about 21 years old, a member of a large family there, eight children, just as my father was. There were eight children in his family. And they met. She was doing housework. Well, she really cared for children. It was rather interesting. She was caring for the grandchildren of famous painter the poet who wrote Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod, Eugene Field, I believe was his name. And she cared for them in Chicago, and then they moved to the north side, and Dad was working on a construction work in the house next door, and Mother was caring for the children and offered him a drink of coffee, and they got acquainted, and he finally married her.
I see. And this was your father's born in Willamette, or was he?
He was born in Willamette, yes, but my mother was born in Germany and emigrated.
Right. What kind of place was Willamette in those days?
Well, actually, we didn't live in Willamette. We lived in Grosse Pointe, which now is part of Willamette, but it was the sort of farm country on the other side of the tracks, as they say. Willamette was really a rich settlement of the people who lived in Chicago, but Grosse Pointe was the ethnic German community at that time. In fact, my father went to a church. We were Catholics, and they went to a church where they were in church school where they learned in the German language. And so he didn't take courses in the English language. He learned in German, but they spoke English, of course. And so back in the home, we spoke German when I was a small child. And that's why I learned German pretty well.
All right, John, how about your education then?
Let's consider, first of all, the conditions at that time. We were going into a depression, as you recall, and the building trades simply didn't flourish at that time. So Dad was out of work most of the time, and he had to take anything that came up, such as parking cars or any survey work that was to be done around the neighborhood. So it was difficult. We were actually on relief part of the time, so it was a question of how much education one would get in those days. But I went to local grammar school, and then I went to New Trier Township High School, which is one of the best schools in the country, is a high school, well known. And I did well there and got a half scholarship to Northwestern University after I got finished with high school.
How about you went to a public school system then, right?
No, I went through a Catholic school system in grammar school, but then I went to public high school.
I see. Okay, what was your...
No, I guess the influence in high school was that I did take chemistry there, and I was quite interested in it. I did well. I also read a lot of books. At that time, there were some books on creative chemistry by a fellow named Slosson that talked about, and then there were Paul de Kreif and his books on microbe hunters and a few others of that kind, and that interested me and steered me in that direction. And then when I went...
How long was your school, high school?
Oh, it must have been a couple thousand. It was a fairly large high
and
school.
So your high school graduating class was what, fair size?
Oh, 500.
500?
No, something of that sort. And as I say, it was one of the best known high schools in the country at the time. Maybe half the graduating class went on to college. It was the elite suburbs of Chicago, Winnetka, Wilmette, Glencoe, or Highland Park, where a lot of the rich people from Chicago live. They commuted to the city to work. And so it was a well-known school, and some of our graduates went to Amherst and Harvard and MIT.
I'm not sure I got the name of the school.
New Trier Township High School.
Let me pause just a minute.
All right.
We're really doing all right. The level seems to be just popping up and down a little bit, but I don't think there's anything wrong, basically. Well, then, okay, you went on to college.
Well, a couple more remarks. As I said, they went on to various schools, and I received a half scholarship. I had a 4-point average in high school, so I went on to college. At that time, it was pretty hard to get the fellowship or scholarships in colleges, and there weren't as many as there are nowadays. But I received a half scholarship, and then after the first year, I received a full scholarship and won several different named scholarships to take me through Northwestern career.
Who provided these scholarships?
There was a Marcy scholarship, and I suppose a fellow named Marcy was behind it, that I received. And I received a university scholarship first. The university scholarships, there were probably about 10 of them, and then they had 2 or 3 named scholarships, which I received thereafter. So that I received full tuition scholarships, which is as much as they gave at that time for the last 3 years of Northwestern.
Going back to your high school days, was there anyone in particular you can think of that particularly influenced you in terms of your interest in scholarship or chemistry?
No, just that I enjoyed the laboratory and I enjoyed reading about it, and I liked the idea of making inventions and finding things new, and I always enjoyed fiddling with things, putting things together, working with radios from crystal sets, which they had in the early days, on through other innovations. We used to listen to the first radios and the news broadcasts and enjoyed that sort of thing.
Did your parents or other relatives encourage you particularly to go on to college?
No, my mother had the idea I'd be an insurance salesman or something of this sort. And they really didn't think about college. My brother was the one that encouraged me the most, because he worked and went to night school to finish, to get a diploma in accounting. He didn't get a college degree, but he took all the accounting courses necessary for a degree. And so then he passed an exam and won the gold medal in accounting in the Chicago area and went on to school, and he encouraged me to go on to college.
How many brothers and sisters?
I had 2 brothers, no sisters.
Were they both older than you?
They were both older. My elder brother went on to school, as I say. My second brother dropped out of high school, so he didn't go on at all. He didn't like school that much.
Let's see, I think you have curvature of the spine or something.
Yes, I do.
Did that develop early?
That developed very early. I was about 3 or 4 years old when I was diagnosed as having tuberculosis of the spine. Before that, they had a difficult time diagnosing it in those days, actually. They thought it was rickets, and they prescribed various things that didn't work. And I finally went to the hospital, where the cure for tuberculosis at that time was to strap you and make you immobile. So they strapped me to a frame a pipe frame and had me lying perfectly immobile in bed for 6 months in a hospital. And that, of course, cured nothing. And so they decided that the only way to immobilize it was by an operation. So they fused the vertebrae and then put me in a body cast that extended from my chin above my hips. I wore that for a couple of years. And I was also, because I laid in bed so long, paralyzed, so that I couldn't walk. In fact, they didn't think I'd ever walk.
Now, this all happened
got off the I was about 9 years old before I finally got through all the therapy and such things. So about the period from 3 to 9, I had a very unusual childhood.
It's been pretty traumatic.
Yeah, it was. And I remember coming home, my brothers didn't recognize me because they hadn't seen me all that time. In those days, only persons that visited me in the hospital or in convalescent homes were my parents. And that was once a week.
My goodness.
So that was a very traumatic time.
That must have been a heavy burden on your parents financially, too.
Well, they couldn't pay for it. It was all a ward of the state. And so I had to take whatever care they were willing to give. And the care was not very good. And you're in with a bunch of the people from Chicago who are rowdy. And so the whole situation was one I just as soon forget.
But this was still before the big crash of 29.
Right. And I was home for that, and the first thing I remember on the news, the first thing I remember in any newspaper was Lindy's flight over the ocean.
Oh.
And then, of course, the campaign in 28. And everyone was excited because Smith was a Catholic.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Going on then to your Northwestern days, did you live at home and commute?
I lived at home and commuted. That was the only way we could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I took a chemistry exam when I started into school, and on the basis of that chemistry exam, which I achieved the highest grade, they promoted me to second year chemistry without taking first year chemistry.
Okay.
And that sort of gelled. They thought I should be an accountant like my brother, but I didn't like accounting particularly. It was just keeping books of what's happening. There's nothing new in that.
I see. So you took four basic subjects in chemistry?
The four basic subjects, but I skipped first year and took the maximum number of hours. So in the last year, I took a couple of graduate courses. So I was in with the graduate students at that time, taking courses. And at that time, they had a grade point system of 7 at Northwestern, AA minus, BB minus. So my grade point average was something like 6.8 or in that variety.
So you took minors in other subjects?
Math and physics.
2 minors.
Right.
How about the professors there? Is anyone you particularly like to mention?
Well, they're all very friendly. The one that I had as an advisor was Malcolm Dole, who is a fairly well-known polymer chemist.
I know him,
right now, and still active. The other people have died, I believe. Charlie Hurd is still alive, and he was the organic professor, and influence on me, liked organic chemistry in lab.
What was Malcolm Dole? Wasn't he organic?
No, Dole was a physical chemist.
Physical.
And I took graduate courses from him, one in statistical thermodynamics, I remember. Had it in the summer.
Did he lecture from his own notes, or did he use a text?
We used a text at that time. I think it was Slater's book.
Could be. So you concentrated pretty much on the academics, or were you involved in school politics or school life?
No, it wasn't. But I did do some. I liked badminton at the time, and badminton was not a recognized sport in colleges. But we did get together get a team together. We had a coach. We practiced every day, and We had some matches with other Big Ten schools, namely Illinois. I remember going down there and playing, and I was on the badminton team, so that was an activity I had. Also liked table tennis or ping pong. I played a good deal of that.
Did you feel sort of cut out of the campus life by living at home?
To some extent. Northwestern is very oriented toward fraternities and sororities, and they did a lot of rushing, but we just didn't have the money to get into that sort of thing. So the dances were closed, they were fraternity events. But I went to football games and got together with crowds, and chemistry and science students in general worked pretty hard those days with laboratories and courses, and so we got together in our own group and talked and worked problems together.
Okay, let's just to get some dates then. You would have finished high school in 1936?
36, that's right. We have a 50th reunion this year.
Have you gone to any of them?
I'm going to this reunion, one. Yeah. And at Northwestern, I went to the 45th reunion last year.
That was, so you graduated from Northwestern in
1940.
And then you went on to Ohio State, is that right?
That's right.
Immediately? Or did you?
Immediately. There were very few jobs out there at that time.
Was this the motivation, or had you decided already that you wanted an advanced degree?
I think I decided I wanted an advanced degree. And the professors at Northwestern encouraged me to go on to advanced degrees. They gave me good recommendations at the several schools, and I did get the teaching assistantship at Ohio State.
Okay, and how?
In fact, at that time, the big schools like Harvard said, "Well, come here for a year, we'll accept you, but we're not giving out any teaching assistantships to any first-year students. You have to prove yourself first." And I just didn't have the money to support myself.
Well, that's interesting. Was the teaching assistantship one of the requirements for the degree at Ohio State?
No, you could come. And,
well, see, the reason I bring that up is that when I went to Harvard, that was part of the program. You were automatically, when accepted as a graduate student, also accepted as a teaching assistant. And this was part of the degree program, actually. Hmm. I don't know why that's completely unique to Harvard.
Yeah. Or maybe my memory is a little hazy. It could have been that you're expected to do some teaching but wouldn't get paid for it, or at least not paid enough to support yourself. Well, even the pay at Ohio State was rather meager. I had to live on about $1 a day for food and $10 a month for room. So,
did you live in a private rooming house?
Private rooming house. Matter of fact, it was a rooming house we called Mercaptan Manor, and we arranged it so that the people themselves got graduate chemistry students to populate the house, and had an agreement with the landlord that if they kept the house full, he would accept whom they said they would take. So we kept it as a chemistry house and gave it this name. Then later on, I joined Gamma Alpha, the scientific fraternity, and lived in the Gamma Alpha house.
I see. Was that particularly expensive then?
No, as I say, it was...
Was it a cooperative house or something?
It was a cooperative house where we did all the house cleaning, hired a cook. I was editor of the Gamma Alpha magazine at the time, graduate school.
Going back to Northwestern, about how many chemistry majors were there graduating with you?
Very few, something like 8 or 10.
Let's see, and what would the total graduating class size have been in those days for bachelors?
That was a big class. I guess it was 1,000 people if you included both the Northwestern Evanston campus and Chicago campus, and all of the various degrees and schools within the arts and sciences school. I don't think it was that many, maybe a couple hundred.
Which campus did you go to?
Went to the Evanston campus.
Back to Ohio State then, about how many graduate students in a class?
In chemistry.
Major, chemistry, PhD.
I think we had about 70 in the freshman class. That's as I recollected.
And you did your fellowship involve teaching or assisting, lab assisting?
Lab assisting, it was a teaching assistantship, but in the last year I had a university fellowship where I did no teaching.
I see.
And when I was at Northwestern, I also worked under the NYA project, National Youth Administration, in the Roosevelt days. And my work there was first shelving books in the library, but then I went over to doing chemistry projects, which professors got grants, and the NYA students did work in the laboratory to satisfy the work requirements.
Was the NYA work during the school term, or was it?
It was during the school term. And no, it wasn't during the summer, so that what happened is I did this work during the school term under NYA, and the prof or the library, if I was shelving books, took the money out of their own funds to keep me employed in the summer as well.
So you stayed there, you continued to spend the summers at Northwestern.
Right. I had to earn all my own keep. In other words, my parents could give me nothing, so worked my way through school.
Okay. At Ohio State, did you go through continuously staying summers? Or?
Yes, I just stayed there summers and made it in 3.5 years, which is pretty good in those days.
And you chose physical organic chemistry?
Physical organic chemistry, right.
Who was the professor?
I worked for two profs, Mel Newman, who was an organic chemist, and Verhoek, Frank Verhoek, who was a physical chemist. He was a kinetics man. Newman was in synthesis.
Was organic chemistry your first choice, or did you consider other?
I don't know that I had a first choice. I was interested in chemistry generally. So that's probably why I went into polymer chemistry, because it involves all facets of chemistry.
How about the faculty or classmates at Ohio State? Anybody particularly memorable?
Well, perhaps one classmate at Northwestern memorable, because it's Lou Surratt, who was the Carruthers lecturer last month.
Oh.
He was a year ahead of me at Northwestern. Then at Ohio State, Paul Morgan was just ahead of me, a little ahead of me. Let's see, who else? There were a couple people worked for Wolfram who did pretty well. I can't remember the name of one. One went on to become a person who was rather high in one of the drug companies. Also, then Dave Braithwaite at Northwestern was well known for his work on organometallic chemistry and became chairman of the board of NALCO.
All right. Let's see. Then you did graduate or get your PhD in 1944.
That's right.
And what was the job situation then, or had you considered?
The job situation was excellent then. There were lots of interviews, and it was during the war. Matter of fact, I went and selected one company to work for, and it hadn't accepted. And another company said, "Well, come on up anyway if you haven't accepted." They were anxious to get people those days, and so you could get almost as many job offers as you had interviews.
Did you consider teaching, or had you always pointed towards industrial?
No, I considered teaching, but I think the thing that simply looked the best at that time was to go into industry, because there were so many jobs. And in teaching, there weren't that many, because people were going off to the war, not going to graduate school. And so the situation in teaching wasn't nearly as good as it was in industrial work.
So what was your first job then out of...
Well, my first job was at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, and the person that got me to go there was Paul Florey. who interviewed me, and there was just no one that compared with Florey in my estimation when I went to the various companies that I interviewed. So.
Why? Because he was dynamic or smart or what?
Well, he had a certain charm about him besides being having a reputation and being... You could simply see it in him, and there was no other choice. I was interviewed at DuPont also, and I liked DuPont, but Florey was the thing that swayed me toward Goodyear.
What was his position at Goodyear then?
He was a supervisor.
And was he your supervisor?
And he was my supervisor. And of course, if I hadn't worked for him, it wouldn't have been the influence either. But
yes.
The idea of working for Florey, and you know, he outlined in such terms the things that he was working on, the fundamental nature of the work he was doing, and it was just so convincing compared to the other places, such as oil companies that are working oil additives. And, they were rather empirical research, and he was one person that seems to be working on something that had a scientific goal, rather primarily that, but also in the polymer chemistry field was just starting then. He was one of the great influences in this field. So the combination of something new, something scientific, something that could lead to worthwhile industrial products were an unbeatable combination.
Okay, Florey was scheduled to be interviewed by Chuck when he died, and so they never did get the Center for History of Chemistry, at least never did get their polymer history interview. Maybe you can fill in some things that we might not have that we might have gotten from him. He left DuPont in 1938, I believe, and went to Goodyear.
Well, he went from DuPont to the University of Cincinnati.
Oh, that I didn't know.
And he taught there for a while. But he felt that he could achieve more with people that already had gotten their training. So he went from there to ESSEL research, and there he worked and published on a experimental verification of the viscosity equation, Mark-Hollings relationship, and showed that there was no longer any question that it was an exponential function rather than a straight equation to the first power, as Schrödinger had proposed, and that was still some argumentation on that point at the time. That there were a wide range of molecular weights of polyacetylene. But then he went from ESSEL over to Goodyear, and I suppose this was a promotion since he'd worked more or less as a chemist at ESSEL and went to Goodyear as a supervisor.
Did he have any recollections about DuPont? Let me continue on the next side.
All right. Yeah, right.